Already, the title of my sermonette is The Performance Review, and it's got some personal meaning here as well as the message, but and it'll be clear as we go on. So as you may glean from the title, my focus here is generally on the concept of performance. But when I say performance, I'm not simply talking about how well we do our jobs, our studies in school, perhaps our art that we create, our music that we create, or any other factor for which we are typically reviewed in some way. And review, as you know, can be either, you know, people buying our work or, you know, in the job world, you know, we are measured by that. So in my work life, I am and have always been subject to an extensive annual review of my job performance. And I might have mentioned this, I think I mentioned this some time ago in a prior message, but the current review that's conducted on my performance is actually 58 pages long. And just as a prop, this is it. And you can see some of the bar graphs, perhaps extensive. And it's conducted with nearly all of the 270 employees that we have weighing in on my performance. Obviously not everyone knows me as well as my direct reports, but they're asked, and so they weigh in. And it is compiled, and it's here it is. And I get to meet with my board chair and vice chair on Monday, so just a couple of days now. So this will be even more real. Is this what I need? This information, these 58 pages, is this really what I need to be able to improve my work after 44 years of doing various jobs like this? Is that the kind of feedback that I need to actually do better? Or would I benefit from perhaps a greater measure of my own self-reflection? Would that be more useful? That's a question perhaps for all of us. Typically, as part of the process, I do prepare my own self-assessment. And unlike this, it's usually 2 pages, maybe 3 pages long. But I focus on my effectiveness over the past year. And I try to be brief. I'm not known for brevity, either in speaking or in writing. But I work on that. I edit many times, so hopefully you get it down. But I try to also be fairly candid in my review with myself about my failings as well as any highlights that I think I've achieved over the past year. It's not always easy, and I think we all know that we often shy away from the aspects of our personality, our behaviors, and our abilities for which we and others we work with or interact with are maybe less impressed with us about. It's therefore hopefully no surprise that I would now make the connection between this worldly performance that we all have to do in terms of the jobs we do and that we have to consider and our own spiritual performance. That's the focus, especially as Mr. Harris said, at this time of the year when we're about to observe the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, and we really need to ask ourselves, how are we doing? There used to be a mayor in New York City back in the day in the 70s, and that was his phrase, how am I doing? And he would yell it out to the people along the way if he was out in public. But it's coincidental that I actually chose this subject. It really is. I wasn't planning on the connection to the Passover and really the requirement to test ourselves, but just so happened that was my inspiration. And obviously we do have that admonition to examine ourselves prior to the Passover and the Holy Days. I say this because occasionally we do lose sight of the reasons that we obey these days, the requirement for these days, and where our focus ought to be. And I want to break in now and jump into Scripture and consider our first scripture, which we'll get to in a minute. But I first want to provide a little bit of context. And you know, I've never said this, but context is really so important to me in our world here and in our observance, our Sabbath observance, and understanding the scriptures. I have a wonderful study Bible at home that gives me lots of context. And boy, it makes the scriptures come alive and gives so much more meaning. And I'm going to be focusing on 1 Corinthians, and I'll tell you the specific scripture in a minute, but it's Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And he was intending to challenge the believers there to examine their lives against the image of Christ specifically. And he especially placed a lot of focus on the quality of love, Christ's love for the church. And his mission, of course, was for Paul was to unify the church and bring them together in fellowship, true fellowship. And at the time, reading the behind the back story, the church gatherings were a bit of a concern to Paul. Their mission was to share the gospel, but Paul felt there was a little bit more worldly focus and focus on prideful activities than focusing on God and the news, the good news. So Paul thought improvement was in order, and Paul was encouraging the church to use their knowledge of Christ and the spiritual gifts to spread the love of Christ and to do so in love. So the underlying meaning of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is as follows. We are to imitate the love of Jesus by using our gifts while serving and loving others just as he did. So again, 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So, using these scriptures as our criteria, as we evaluate our own spiritual performance, how do we think we stack up measuring ourselves in the eyes of God in our own spiritual performance review? I encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. The rest of the verses comprise the wonderful love scriptures that we all hear, that we are instructed as to what Christian love is all about. If we profess to love one another and then hurt each other in some way, then we're not following God's example. If we profess to love God and then disobey him, then we're failing in our own performance, our lives, and our faith. So, when we consider this, let's go a little deeper now. We're going to consider the words of Psalm 139, which I find very, very, very direct. Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24, excuse me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Now, as we read that, we're witnessing David asking God to conduct a spiritual performance review, not simply to critique him, but to set him, and by extension, each of us that God has called, on a righteous pathway. When we fall short, as we will, we know we need that. We need that correction. Now, earlier in that chapter, we read the scriptures that we sing in our hymn in verses 7 through 10, and I'll just read these to you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And I chose the NIV translation because I really liked the imagery and the clarity that it afforded. What can you take away from that scripture, though, as David did, is God's omnipotence and his mercy. God does not turn his back on us. He is there and will be there for each of us unless we walk away from him. Can we say that again in the where I began, in the worldly sense with our employer? Will our employers always be there for us? Of course not. Will our worldly structures, our politicians, our governments be there for us? We know the answer to that. We don't need to dwell on that. So we should then be motivated to look carefully at ourselves and our own performance before God. Paul stressed this time and again with the brethren in many locations, but he was especially focused in this instance at Corinth. In essence, he implored that they get their collective acts together and do better. Cease sinning, repent, which is critical. You can stop sinning, but you need to repent and not repeat, and then move forward in faith. And I want to consider another scripture that drives this point home more fully, but again, let's consider some important context that'll help to set the stage for our final scripture here. And it's this final chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, that opens with a bit of a warning, if you will, from Paul. He warned the brethren on his previous visits and warns the Corinthians once more that he will not be lenient on those found to be unrepentant, in unrepentant sin. And he focused on two categories of sin, division and immorality. And this is, you can look at chapter 12 and get a better detail of this. But in keeping with that challenge, Paul was urging self-examination. The believers ought to scrutinize themselves to see if they're living according to their professed faith in Christ. They must test themselves and realize whether Jesus Christ is truly in them, and if that is their motivation. So, 2 Corinthians 13, and we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6. And again, it's wonderfully clear. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. So, how do we fail the test? When we reject God by not repenting and continuing to sin. And Paul was giving the brethren that encouragement that he believed they could do that. They could get over the sin and repent. If we're considering our own performance in this regard, we should quickly understand that our annual review with God will not be positive if we do not repent and move forward. And of course, we're not focused on an annual review. We should be focused on a daily review of our performance with God and be really looking at ourselves, perhaps when we wake every day. What are we going to do today? How are we going to serve God in the tasks we have ahead of us? What example are we going to set for those around us at work, at school, even at the grocery store, if we're going in to buy something? What is our example going to be? So we have an opportunity to change course and improve our performance in the eyes of the Father. And as I said, we needn't wait another year for this time of the year to commit to that and make the changes.